This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 9:07. You're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's Wednesday morning talk show. I'm Tobin Ott alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, how are you today?
I'm here.
You're here.
A little damp on the edges, but I'm here.
And I tell you what, that fog last night was impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And we have a guest.
Yes, we do.
John Hannafin from the News Herald in Litchfield. We're going to reflect about Montgomery County and newsworthy items in 2011. So this should be an interesting chat. And we've got a big guest coming up on the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
We've got that coming up, too. So stay tuned for that. We're going to take a little break. The Wednesday Morning Talk Show brought to you by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield. We'll be back with John Hannafin right after this.
At Plummer Funeral Home, after many years of service, we remain committed to providing the most caring, professional funeral services in this area. It is our mission to provide each family with the very best in quality care during what is often the most difficult of circumstances. At Plummer Funeral Home, we have never taken for granted the confidence families place in us, and we promise to always go the extra mile to earn your trust. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday morning talk show. Tobin Ott alongside with everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. John Hannafin is our guest for today's program. And John, welcome to the program. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for spending some time. I know this time of year, especially with the Christmas edition of the newspapers and everything like that, it kind of gets chaotic in the newspaper business. But I do appreciate your time.
I was just going to add that Christmas shopping is evidently not done yet, because we were out and about yesterday, and boy, the stores, people were bustling around buying last-minute gifts, so evidently all of the shopping is not done yet.
When you go to Fairview Heights, and the next thing you see is a sheriff's deputy waving in traffic inside the mall area, you have a problem.
Yeah.
And that's when another store takes your attention a little bit more.
I've made a note several years ago to stay away from those places during the Christmas holidays.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's a busy time, no doubt about it. It's hard to get a hold of people to flesh out some news stories. Mm-hmm. Sports scores in the next week or so when all the ADs are off. It's going to be rough.
And this time of year, you've got the Litchfield Holiday Tournament, Carlinville Holiday Tournament. You've got this is tournament time for the basketball teams. Looking in on the news side of things, you and I have worked for the past, it's hard to believe, 6 years at various meetings in that. And like what we talked last year, the biggest question mark is still the mine and what this is going to bring for Montgomery County.
That's true. So far, all they've done is removed developmental coal, and talk is full production next summer. And they still have to bring in more people. They have to train more people. And so everybody's, keeping an eye on that, especially the price of coal, because the county will be getting a percentage of that coal revenue. So that's in this day and age, when the state is a slow pay to everybody and nobody wants to see their property taxes go up and sales taxes are slowly going down, it's a pretty important item around here, at least.
And of course, our good friends in high places are rumbling around about what they want to do over taxes. One side can't agree with the other, and so there's a lot of problems out there right now. Getting back to the mine, it's amazing. It's been a long time in the talking process, John, but it's finally, as you said, coming together, and I guess the latest advancement, if you've been down 185, is the railroad tracks now, and they're working on them. I understand when they get them done, there will be a the cross arms as well as the lights there. So that's somewhere in the near future, I would assume.
That's my understanding. I have not been down 185 for a while, but my understanding is the mine's plan is to actually have access to two different railroads, the Union Pacific and the Norfolk Southern, branches there at the Ameren Power Plant. So they'll have two ways to ship out, by rail. And what they've always said is a good percentage of that coal is going to go shipped overseas.
Yeah.
So first it'll be shipped to the rivers and then barged down to New Orleans.
I know how it is on my end, covering the mine. I'm kind of like a wait and see. I've done a story about it's being constructed and where they're at. How are you handling the coverage of the mine? Are you kind of taking a wait and see attitude, and then once we get full going, take it up a notch?
What we're doing is basically learning more about the coal industry as we go along. We're keeping an eye more on the Mine Safety and Health Administration, keeping an eye on jobs, the entire coal industry, which and across the country right now is relatively more active than it was, say, 10 years ago.
Right.
I mean, Southern Illinois was, when it came to mining coal, was there wasn't much going on. Now it's much more active. The whole coal industry has changed, and I'm trying to get a better feel or on the pulse of that industry, because it's going to be around here hopefully for a good long time, with three mines, you know, within relatively short distance of us.
Do you think this is because the coal industry is doing a perhaps better job at marketing their product, or is there just more demand for their product?
Apparently there's more demand for coal overseas. There also seems to be some of the older mines out east, West Virginia, are not as productive anymore. Also, there had been a thought that we'd have more nuclear power by now, and apparently, especially after that incident, you know, the tsunami in Japan, everybody's backtracking on that, thinking this is not a very safe way to go. And so consequently, it looks like the coal market is going to be turning around.
And from what I've been told by various people, the coal mine here in the Hillsborough area is, they're sitting on not only a lot of product, but some pretty good coal.
That's what everybody keeps saying. So
it's still a wait and see, and that's still we're still a long way to go before we see any impact or royalties. Well, I'm not going to receive any royalties, but you know, the county will receive any royalties or the city from it.
That's my understanding. Is the contract calls for royalty payments to be by the month. So there'll be still some details to be worked out as to, you know, how much or how do you account for it. You know, it's not like the grain elevator business where you've got state regulation. Apparently there's not a great deal of regulation at this particular stage of the coal industry. So it's all contractual and detailed work.
And what my understanding is, you and I, we've got a good rapport with the state representatives and state senators, is now with the activity of the coal industry picking up in Illinois, I think our lawmakers are kind of looking at a severance tax or something like that to make sure Illinois is not out of the loop and, you know, there's some money to be made by this.
That is the coal industry's fear and hesitation. Illinois doesn't have a great reputation when it comes to taking care of its businesses. You know, the prime example is when you have the Chicago Board of Trade talking about leaving the state because mm-hmm. it's all electronic anymore, and you're dealing with a lot of money changing hands that the state was taxing. Sears saying, well, we could move to Indiana. The president of Caterpillar made some derogatory statements about the state of Illinois, and Governor Quinn got active all of a sudden. And my understanding, the president of Caterpillar backed off, but one of my sources said, well, he backed off publicly the one time, but that wasn't the comments he made later at a public meeting in Decatur. So Illinois doesn't have a real good reputation right now of handling their money.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, John Hannafin is our guest on the Wednesday morning talk show. Uncle Ralph, go ahead.
I was just going to comment that on Caterpillar, they said, that he backed off a little. He took a half a step backwards. So, you know, we've got to come to some kind of reckoning with the three endeavors that you mentioned, John, because we're talking big money.
Very large money. And a lot of jobs.
Yes.
And it's awful easy to pull up stakes and move.
Mm-hmm.
I got to admit, in about March this year, I got taken back. I had a young man who I knew had been in the Guard, National Guard, and had been in Iraq and come home. He was in our office, and he and I were talking about things in general, and he was looking for work and was to the point he was ready to go back in and go active Army because he couldn't find a job because he figured he'd wind up in Iraq or Afghanistan and be making good hazardous duty pay to support his family. When you got a young man talking, you know,
going back into it, that's
going
a problem.
Back into it, that's a sign things are not good.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we're seeing that now with the withdrawal of troops out of Iraq. And I understand watching the news last night that some of them probably in the near future will be sent to Afghanistan. But still, there's going to be a lot of young men and women looking for jobs. And where do they find those jobs?
Big question. Hard question.
And I think the page turned a little bit this week with the death of Kim Jong-il, because you don't know his predecessor. Is he going to be like, did the apple fall too far from the tree? Is he a different demeanor than what his dad was? Yeah, there's a lot of questions over there.
The way the couple of analysis I read, they said, we don't know what's going to happen next. And that leaves a lot of uneasiness in that part of the world.
And even to add to that, to make it a little more of a turmoil, I really don't think that the North Korean people know what to expect out of this young man, because he's never had the responsibility. His father run everything with an iron hand, so I think there's going to be a lot of concern among the citizens of North Korea. Where are we at now?
Yeah, and there's like 28,000 American troops sitting along that border.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to wonder what's going on there.
Absolutely. And let's continue on. During this year, the consolidation word became very vocal. You had the Panhandle School District come out and start doing feasibility studies with Pawnee and Morrisonville about consolidation. That didn't work. Now the focus is on Morrisonville and Nokomis. What's your take on all this consolidation talk, and are we closer maybe to a countywide high school than ever before?
Well, in thinking back to this year, I know the Litchfield School Board, I think it was in March, voted unanimously against being forced to consolidate. And right. There was talk in the State House at the time, you know, what we need to do is force consolidation, save money, save millions, hundreds of millions that way. And in that regard, I have to agree that that's probably the best thing. I think schools should reflect the communities and the areas in which they're at. The Montgomery County as a whole is slowly losing population, mm-hmm. not just young population, just generally population. The only reason Montgomery County is over 30,000 the census is the prison. That has a lot to do with a lot of benefits that the state is supposed to put out. Looking at schools, I have to question whether we can allow ourselves to look at schools as just a county institution, I have a feeling that down the road we're going to have to look at areas, not at counties and county lines. Otherwise, it just gets too awkward in trying to, you know, to go to a county structure. I can't see, you know, it would be nice to keep it on a county level. It would have a certain appeal to it. But in the real world, I don't think it's going to work. I think the thing that's being currently kicked around at the Litchfield level is trying to find some way to cooperate among school districts and trying to save or share teachers or share programs. That may be the only until somebody makes a big decision about consolidating districts, that may be the only way to save any money for the taxpayer.
And most of the surrounding school districts that were invited to this meeting, which will be held early next year, I think sometime next month, accepted, right? Gillespie was probably the only one that turned them down.
I think when it was proposed, it was not stated very well, and I think there were a lot of school boards that thought they want to swallow us up. Well, that's not the case. My recollection, I haven't had time to do the research, but my recollection is in further southern Illinois, there have been some, in the past 20 years, there has been some cooperative programs among districts. And like I said, this may be the best thing that can happen to a taxpayer.
And with the availability of computers and all the things that goes with computers today, it would be easy for Litchfield and Panhandle, or Hillsboro and Panhandle, or Hillsboro, Nokomis, Hillsboro, Litchfield, whatever, to share programs. It would seem to me that that's a good point, John, that those type of programs are very feasible.
The computer teaching business is still in its beginning stages, but as an old dog, I'm given stuff on chances to go to webinars and, you know, every week about newspaper businesses and communications and social media and that sort of thing. And that's the way the real world is anymore.
And that's changed the industry, not only on the newspaper side, but on the radio side. Everything is now Facebook. Everything is now web-enabled. Everything, tweeting now. I mean, I can't see you at a basketball game tweeting, man, that shot was bad. I can't see that happening from you. But is that difficult for you to flip that switch and say, okay, here's what we're going to do, just to try to expand the name out a little bit more?
It's not difficult. It's just time-consuming, and
right. And
time is of the essence. Plus, it's the first thing that Rupert Murdoch and I finally agreed on is you just can't give away product.
Absolutely.
And it's going to come down to, and the newspapers are slowly going this way, is to the paywalls, where if you want to read it, you're going to have to subscribe to it, even if it's on the internet. People, when everything first went on the internet and everything was free, it was a sideline. Mm-hmm. Now it's stepping into where it costs, and memory costs, computer memory costs, computer time costs, computer maintenance costs, as we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real headache, and you have to have some pretty bright people. You have to pay some pretty bright people to work on this stuff.
And that's necessarily not a cheap endeavor.
No.
Because if they're bright enough and they know their way around a computer, you're talking big bucks.
Yes.
And regardless of what kind of a program it is and what it concerns, we have to think about acceptability. How will the public accept this? You know, is this something that the public will go for, or won't they go for it? And it's a big decision sometimes to make some of these decisions.
And that right there is a big variable. You know, I can only imagine in your radio audience, mm-hmm. some of them will not touch a computer, and some of them live by it and wonder why you aren't on it.
Absolutely. And it's a pleasure having you in here and talking with you about different stuff that's going on with the county, and get you out of the office for a little bit.
For a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
So this week, it's the Christmas week. What does the plan have for the newspaper, for the News Herald? Obviously, you're going to have your Christmas edition, or has that already been out with the letters to Santa and all that stuff?
Oh, it continues all week. We get letters to Santa all week, and we'll get them in there one way or the other.
And so it's just it was a kind of like what Uncle Ralph said earlier. It was kind of a calm. I don't like using the word quiet, because if you use that Q word, then my cell phone goes off saying we got an accident, you know, that we need to cover. So, and no, there's not an accident that we need to cover, but that always happens. But it was fairly calm this year.
Speak for yourself, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. it depends on what business you're in. You know, some businesses said, you know, pretty calm year. Others, well, we didn't have a calm year. So, and then that's what makes the world go around, guys. You know, a variation of things, put them all together and stir them up and hope it comes out.
And, of course, we haven't had the S word fall on the ground yet. But I tell you what, that fog last night kind of reminded me of that blizzard that we had last year, because it was just, you saw the glazing on the trees, and I'm like, man, if it was a little bit colder, this would not be a good scenario to be in.
I've been perfectly content to watch the TV about those people out there in Kansas and stuff with all that snow, and just watch them enjoy it and enjoy we didn't have it.
Yeah, absolutely. John, it's always a pleasure sitting with you and talking with you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time, and have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, my friend.
Merry Christmas to all.
And that's gonna do it for this week's Wednesday morning talk show. Our guest was John Hannafin from the Litchfield News Herald. And we will be back next week, where our guest is Mickey Robinson.
The mixer.
So you better be on your best behavior.
Yeah, I'll have to slam dunk him a time or two.
I don't need to bring out the penalty box here.
No.
All right. And then, let's see, then the week after that, Mayor Tom Jones and Mayor John Downs will be our special guest. So that should be very interesting as well. So that's going to do it for the Wednesday morning talk show. Earl Sorrells is next with your market update. You're listening to WSMI AM 1540, the station you can count on. Thanks for listening.